right, let's knock out a trivia question here right away. That song, Huey Lewis, Hip to Be Square, featured football players, NFL champion football players. Do you know who they were? Casey, this is way before your time.
Was that? Was William Perry in there?
Do you know the song?
No.
Yeah.
Was William Perry in there?
No.
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 So this wasn't anything with the Bears?
Nothing with the Bears.
Okay. San Francisco?
San Francisco. Okay. There you go.
Okay. I was trying
Joe
to go
Montana,
back.
Ronnie Lott,
okay.
Roger Craig,
Roger
I think
Craig
was
from
singing
Davin,
background
did you know?
Vocals on that
from
song.
From Davenport, Iowa.
Is he?
Yeah, Roger
I did not
Craig
know that.
From Davenport, Iowa. Yeah.
See, we've learned something already, and we're only seconds into the program.
Yes, yeah, a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's a disgrace that he's not. So.
That's a Roger Craig?
Roger Craig, yes.
Oh, yeah, he was a Nebraska guy, right?
Yeah, well, played for San Francisco. He's the first NFL running back that really made it where catching the ball out of the backfield became a huge part of the game. And he's the guy that kind of made that where now running backs do it all the time.
West Coast offense.
Yep.
Which leads us into our trivia question for this week.
Oh, that wasn't the trivia question?
No, that wasn't. That was just a little useless knowledge you can take to parties and bore your friends with. The trivia
twice.
Question, Andy Reid. He is one of five head coaches in the NFL history to win at least three Super Bowls. Who are the other four?
Chuck Knoll.
Yeah, there's one. Chuck Knoll, that is correct.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick is the one of them. We just talked about him.
Oh, yeah. Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh, there you go. Those are the easy ones.
Okay.
Now you get to the other one. He has three NFL championships.
Parcells?
Nope, not Bill Parcells.
Okay.
Jimmy Johnson didn't win three.
They won three. Technically, he won three, but Barry Switzer got credit for one of them.
Mm-hmm. It was his team.
Oh, Bill Cowher?
No, not Bill Cowher.
Okay.
Chuck Knoll won Chuck four. They're five. Okay. I think they have five or six. I'm not sure. And then Mike Tomlin might have won with the Steelers. Okay. So now this guy. Then he went. He quit coaching, and went on to form his own. NASCAR racing team.
Oh, Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs. There you go.
Washington, back when they were the Redskins.
Belichick has six. Chuck Knoll has four. Bill Walsh has three. And so does Joe Gibbs.
So I'm trying to think here. Mark Rippon, Doug Williams, and Joe Theismann were the quarterbacks on those teams, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, your memory's better on mine than that one. So I don't know. Joe Theismann won one.
Doug Williams came on and just
ripped up.
Oh,
it was the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and I think Mark Rippon was the other quarterback. Yeah.
So, feelings about this year's Super Bowl? You guys thinking still Chiefs three-peat or what?
Hope not.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's hard to go against them just because they always seem to find a way to win.
So, they always perform whenever they need to. Whenever they need a play, they seem to get it. But Super Bowl tickets, they are cheaper for this Super Bowl. They're actually dropping in value right now.
Really?
Because, A, it's not Las Vegas. It's in New Orleans. New Orleans can't quite compete with all the things that Vegas has. It's a much bigger stadium. It's like 80,000 seats. And they're just like, been there, done that. It's the Eagles and the Chiefs.
Right.
You know? So they said, ticket prices are actually dropping right now for the
Super Bowl. We still can't afford them.
No. Don't be ridiculous.
They've dropped it to what?
If we all got together to try to buy one seat, it still wouldn't work. It's still over about $4,000.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's more than even I thought. So.
Did you see that the Fever announced that they are playing the Brazilian national team at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City? I don't know when, but it's already $700 a ticket.
That's just ridiculous.
That is. I mean, they were about $420 a pop when they retired Caitlin Clark's number just this past Sunday. So he picked up a huge win against the USC, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was a massive win.
Speaking of basketball, what do you guys think about the Mavs-Lakers trade? That was crazy that two big-name superstars traded for each other.
Shocked when I saw it.
In the middle of a season.
Yeah, shocked when I saw it. I get why the Lakers are doing it. You're getting a younger player who could become one of the faces, because he already has, of the league. He's had a history of not being in shape. He's had some injury issues. If you're Dallas, you're getting a guy who's been one of the better players in the league but has been injured his entire career. Both of them probably win and both of them probably lose out of this. Your thoughts?
I thought it was a great trade for the Lakers.
Yeah.
They're going to get a great scorer.
Right.
That's for sure. I mean, a guy who can do a lot. I think you put him with LeBron James, Yeah, yeah, well, you don't quite know who to concentrate on.
LeBron's getting old. Yeah. So, I mean, you got you need somebody on there to, that's going to be the face of the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going forward, if they want to keep signing him,
yeah. The question's going to be is LeBron doesn't play well off of the ball. Luka doesn't play well off of the ball. You can't bring two basketballs up every time you come down the floor and have one of them handle it. So who takes over the point guard role and who has to become an off-the-ball guy? Because neither one of them are good at that. That's not their strength. So that'll be the interesting thing. So yeah, LeBron's an average player when he's off ball.
I think the Lakers knew they had to have a lot more offense if they're going to compete in the West.
Right, yep.
So that's what they
did.
They went out
they
and
don't.
Got more offense.
I'm not a Lakers fan. So.
I can't stand the Lakers myself.
So hopefully they don't compete. So.
Not a fan. Yep. All right, on the panic scale, 1 to 10, how panicked should Iowa State fans be right now? Lost their third straight game.
Don't jump off the bandwagon. How many times have you seen a team hit a rough spot midway through to late in the season and then turn it around and make a deep run come, you know, NCAA tournament time? Almost every team has some kind of a rut at some point in the season, and I think Iowa State should just hit their rut now. They'll figure it out. They'll come out better on the other side. That's my thought.
I hope they lose every game the rest of the way they go. I don't know why you turned and looked to me.
Because I was waiting for that answer.
So here's what concerns me is if you watch him, I mean, they don't have Momchilovic right now. He was one of their leading three-point scorers. But I mean, you lost him, and all of a sudden you have no bench scoring.
Right.
Your player, their rotation is shortened up basically to six, seven guys. Where's the, you know, that loss, that one loss is going to affect your whole team like that? That doesn't bode well. Not for tournament time.
Makes you wonder about the development of the other guys that haven't been in the rotation and if they're ready to go.
They're only playing a very few minutes a game, and they do expect Momchilovic back maybe this weekend. Definitely by next week.
Right.
But still, it's not a great sign for them.
To piggyback off what John said, I know I hope Iowa State loses the rest of their games, but I think Millions' ability to stretch the floor, Iowa State doesn't have that right now.
Right.
You watched their Kansas game, and I just thought their floor spacing at times wasn't really good. And besides Curtis Jones, they don't have anybody that can knock down a three consistently outside of Million. I mean, they don't. I mean, Nate Heisey off the bench was a decent shooter at UNI, but he can't hit the water. He can't hit anything, you know, at Iowa State right now.
Iowa State last night, 3 of 21. From beyond the three-point line. Lipsy was 1 for 6. Curtis Jones, 1 for 7. Keyshawn Gilbert, 1 for 5. And Joshua Jefferson, 0 for 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just 20. They shot 14% from beyond the three-point line for the game.
I mean, besides Curtis Jones, I think Million shoots like 44% from three. Curtis Jones is at 37. But then you add in Lipsy, Jefferson, and Jones, their best three-point shooters at 33%.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you can't be able to stretch the floor like that with guys that are shooting like that. You know, especially when one of your top scorers and floor stretchers goes down.
Nobody's gonna fear the three from these guys. They're gonna pack the lane and then they're gonna out rebound you. Bench scoring last night, Kansas outscored Iowa State 15-3.
Yeah, and everything you guys are bringing up, and then you say that he's coming back later this week or early next week, sounds to me like a lot of the problems disappear after he comes back.
I think the book is out on Iowa State. I think maybe a lot of teams are like, okay, we're figuring out how to maybe hold these guys down. And plus, you know, Lipsy, like I said, he's always got a hand injury or something going on, it seems like. Yeah, he's not been a consistent scorer, but the concerning part is Curtis Jones and Keyshawn Gilbert, they're not scoring like they used to because they're the offense right now, and everybody's concentrating on them.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of Iowa State fans. I chuckled when they got beat over the weekend because you went on, you know, I don't go on Facebook much, but I was posting some stuff, and man, everything you saw was, oh, the season's over. We're not going to come close to winning the Big 12 title. We're going to be an early out in the NCAA tournament. I mean, the Titanic was sinking, and everybody was jumping off ship like crazy. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys, just settle down a little bit.
Honestly, Kansas hasn't been all that great this year either. I mean, not to Kansas's standards.
There's a lot of parity in the game right now.
Zeke Mayo, who played at SDSU, transferred in. 17 points. He's their leading scorer right now, above Hunter Dickinson.
Right.
So that's got to be a little concerning for them there.
Yeah, and I think Hunter Dickinson is kind of tailed off after, you know, you know, the start he had at Michigan, I don't think he's half the player that he was probably at that point. And I think that you're hearing that from NBA scouts, that here was a guy that if he'd have come out after his freshman or sophomore year, probably would have been a top 10 pick. And now I don't even think he's a first rounder. So for, you know, for his career to kind of dip, it's not really a surprise that he's not playing as well right now.
I hate to say it this way, but I think money talks. And as soon as he got paid, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, he's making $1 million a year there at Kansas. Yeah.
And I'm not going to draft him if he's going to get a big, you know, NBA contract and then not play hard for me. I'm not drafting him.
Yeah, my panic meter is about a 5 right now. It's like it could go either way. It could go skyrocketing if they lose a couple more. You know, now it's like, okay, let's just, you still got a month left.
Right.
You know, before tournament time, you could easily turn it around or it could all go south.
Didn't Iowa State finish the season really strong? And that's what I'm saying. I think that TJ will have him going towards the end of February and in March. I mean, that's where all the hype for Iowa State last year came around, was their finish in the Big 12 play and then their Big 12 tournament championship. So
hopefully it'll be the same way. I got a lot of faith in TJ Otzelberger. Yeah. It's just the injuries and things like that have taken their toll. We've got to move on to local sports because we got girls state wrestling coming up at the end of the week and 6 qualifiers for the girls.
Yeah, congratulations. Macy Rasmussen from Audubon was a champion at the regional on Friday. The other wrestlers all finished up in second place to advance. Emma Daniels of Carroll High, Brie Kiger of Carroll High, Jordan Mulford from Audubon, Emery Kramer, and Mia Heffley both out of South Central Calhoun. So they'll be wrestling beginning on Thursday down at Coraville at the Extreme Arena, and we'll have Jeff Honnold and Bill Kane on the broadcast again. And just so that everybody knows, of course, all of our coverage will be on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. It'll be audio only. They'll be on the entire 1A sessions both Thursday and Friday as long as we still have somebody that's going to be wrestling on the mats. So I'm going to be down there. I'll update a page on our website that'll have the results, and then you'll be able to scroll down and find who they're going to be wrestling in their next round. I'll also get a video interview with all 6 of the kids after each one of their matches, and that video interview will go out onto the CB Sports Network website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, and then I'll also post that on that results page, very similar to what we do at State Track, where everything's kind of in one spot for you to be able to find. So that's kind of our coverage coming up beginning on Thursday afternoon.
Now, again, the first opening session for these guys isn't until like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 4:30 right? On Thursday night, they'll go till about 9 o'clock, and then on Friday they'll get underway at about 10 o'clock in the morning, wrestle until about 2:30, I think, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then anybody that makes the first place match, the championship match, the third place match, or the fifth place match will wrestle again Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock. So we wish the best of luck, everybody. A little disappointed in some of the seedings. Talked to Marissa Soder, the head coach for the Audubon girls yesterday, and kind of found out a little bit of how they do it, and hopefully both the union, who this one is, and even talking with some of the boys wrestling coaches and association, look at how they see it. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it is. But, you know, you got Macy Rasmussen's been ranked in the top 5 all year, undefeated on the year. She gets an 8 seed. And the reason she gets an 8 seed is because you get points for having qualified for state in the past. Well, as a freshman, you haven't got a past and stuff. So it, to me, it's
that's penalizing her.
You're penalizing her for being a freshman, and that happens to a lot of, you know, wrestlers that, you know, are younger and stuff. And I think it's unfair. I think you need to find a way to focus on what happened this year and seed based off of this year. I don't care what you did last year. Last year was last year. It doesn't have any bearings on what you did this year, and they've got to find a way, I think, because Macy Rasmussen shouldn't get punished. Cooper Ludwig several years ago shouldn't have got punished. He beat a kid, pinned a kid during the season, and then ends up seated behind him at the state tournament because the other kid had been a multiple-time state qualifier. And to
me, at this point,
it's not right.
Season behind him.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you have to base it based on the season,
And everything's on Track Wrestling, all of their wins, who they've wrestled, all of that information's on there. You can't tell me that we've got a lot of really smart people out there that they can't come up with a formula that they can plug into Track that, you know, looks at what they did this season and the accomplishments that they did this season. Because it's not the last 4 year state tournament, it's this year's state tournament. Yeah. You shouldn't be punished for being a freshman. So
should be some type of formula that says what this is a great quality win and strength, yes. Like strength of schedule, yeah. Almost.
Absolutely. That kind of stuff. That's all part of it too. So they do look at some of that stuff. But the part that I don't like is that I don't think you should get bonus points for having been a qualifier in years past when that penalizes freshmen who are just coming in that are really, really, really good that haven't had that chance to be there and gain those extra points.
Yeah, it takes no injury into account, performance that year, things like that. Yeah, yep. So that is a very, yep. I didn't realize that they did that.
Yeah, I didn't either until talking with the coaches this year. I talked to Coach Noggle yesterday and kind of found out that the boys kind of run that exact same formula. So. Mm.
That is interesting. I'm a little concerned going into the thing about Jeff Honnold. I'm a little concerned about him.
We always are.
I feel like he always texts me at like 6 a.m. when I go on the air. He's always out somewhere. So I have a feeling like 4:30 in the afternoon is a little late for Jeff to be out, isn't it?
Well, I'm really worried about...
Is he going to be missing a nap time in there or something?
He will be. I'm really worried about... Well, he goes to bed at like 6:30. So yeah. I'm very concerned about the later part. Bill Kane will probably have to carry the broadcast late in the day because if you hear snoring, it'll probably be Jeff taking a nap in the background. So
out at the old man's buffet at 4:30.
He does that.
Wow. I can't believe I even went that low with him. So let's talk about the boys wrestling side of things.
Most of them had their their conference meets last week and stuff. They're beginning to wind down the regular season. This week is kind of the state dual stuff, and then next Saturday, so a week from this upcoming Saturday, will be their qualifying meets and stuff. We've got some wrestlers doing really, really well. Dawson Allen out of ESAC won the title at his weight class up at Kingsley Pearson over the weekend. Carson Webker, the outstanding wrestler from South Central Calhoun, who hopefully doesn't get punished much for being a freshman and has got one loss on the year. He went 5-0 at their dual tournament over this weekend. Leighton Elmquist out of Audubon won a title and stuff for them. Also, Mason Kaspabar and Jack Standerson both finished second at the Audubon tournament. And then Jace Peterson, Braden Werneberg, and Curtis Bullock all went 4-1 for South Central Calhoun. And Cooper Natras was 3-1 at their duel. So I was up there at South Central over the weekend watching them on Saturday, and I thought they wrestled pretty well. Team-wise, probably disappointed. They ended up going 3-2 on the day. I think they felt that Humboldt was probably going to be a really tough one to win. But in talking with Lance Schultz ahead of time, I think that they really felt they could get by Lawton Bronson and ended up dropping that one. So I think they were a little disappointed in that.
So you got about a week and a half before qualifying, right?
Yeah. Yep. A week from this coming Saturday will be the state qualifying meets. So.
Yeah, and they've got a couple. It'll be 2 weeks after the girls' tournament here this week. That'll be the state wrestling tournament down in Des Moines.
So. Yes.
But the girls are in Coralville. It all begins this Thursday. 4:30 is the opening session. And, again, we've got it on YouTube. Search CB Sports Network. And we got Jeff Honnold, Bill Kane on the call. Jeff, you're going to be doing some video interviews with the kids.
Yep.
All of that available throughout the run. Again, if they're live in the session, we're going to be live on the YouTube page.
Yes. And if you don't do real well with YouTube, we should have it. If you go to the main page on our sports website, the sports.1380kci.com, you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see the video area, not the video interview area that's underneath it, but there's a big, you know, video screen there and stuff, and that you should be able to pull it up and click on it there as well.
All right, so join us for the Girls State Wrestling Tournament coming up beginning Thursday afternoon. More Rewind coming up next.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is KCIM Sports Rewind with Sports Director Jeff Blankman, Assistant Sports Director Casey Miners, and I'm John Ryan. And a little shocked we haven't heard from Honnold yet. Huh?
He hasn't texted?
He hasn't texted at all
yet.
Must
be taking a nap again.
Man, yeah. Sleeping. Basketball, let's talk about that. You kind of put together some highlights throughout the week, and the one thing that caught my eye was a lot of teams on a serious hot streak right now.
Yeah.
I don't know where you want to begin with this, but Carroll girls basketball has won 5 in a row. Xyre Elkhorn Templeton girls, 8 in a row. Kemper boys, 12 in a row. I mean, there's a lot of them like that.
We've got a lot of really good basketball teams playing good right now. And I think the Carroll girls, you know, they just piggyback off of what happened a couple weeks ago when they beat number one St. Albert and then beat, you know, a ranked ADM team. They just got it going right now. And I think Coach Cook liked what she's got up there. You know, in Carroll, I think you'd have to agree. And then Tom Peterson down at Xyra EHK, they get Jalen Peterson back, and they're a completely different team than what they were the first half of the season.
Yeah.
You know,
both Woodbine and Xyra, or Woodbine and Coon Rapids Bayard here in the second half. Did lose to Atlantic last night, who's a good, larger school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But, yeah, and I think they were disappointed to drop that one last night. Didn't play well in the first half. But, yeah, 8-1 now in their last 9 games.
Yeah, so. Go back to the Carroll girls, because they're 13-4, third in the Raccoon
third
River.
In the Raccoon.
How long has it been since they've been that high up in the Raccoon River Conference standings? It's been
Shelly Mossman years?
Yeah, a long time.
Shelly Mossman years, probably.
Sorry. Wait, no. That anybody was old. But.
We're not being mean, Shelly.
No, not at all.
All three of their losses, I think, are to one to North Polk, two to Carlisle. So the two teams that are ahead of them and also ranked ahead of them.
Yes.
You know, so like, it's not like they've got you know, some fluke losses. They've got.
And almost beat Carlisle over there early in the year. So played them really, really well. So that's a really good basketball team. They're fun to watch, and they play hard, especially on the defensive end. But the offense, I think, has improved this year, and I think that's kind of been the biggest jump. I think Katie's always had to play good defense, but I think their offense is better this season.
Yeah, Kemper boys 12 in a row. They're 18-1. The only loss is Dowling. So
clinch the Hawkeye 10.
Yeah.
Yep. They're just so fun. They defend. They get out and run. They shoot. They dribble drive. I mean, there's weaknesses, but they're not big weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, Dowling showed it. You know, I think West Lyon at times showed that there's still areas they can get better. I'm not saying they're weaknesses, but there's areas that team can get better. But I've had people ask me where they rank in the teams I've covered, and I says I haven't fully decided yet because I'm waiting for the rest of the season to pull out. But in my mind right now, the 04, I think it was 04, 05, Carroll boys team that had Sean Haluska and Shane Nissen and Wade Pettit and that group and this Kemper team this year are the two best teams I've covered since I came here 20-some years ago. And, you know, I haven't determined which one's better yet, but that Carroll team had always been the best boys team that I thought I had covered since coming here, and this Kemper team certainly pushing them.
So other win streaks are kind of going on our hot streaks right now. Carroll boys, 5 of their last 6. Arweva boys, 5 of their last 6. They're 13-4 overall. CRB boys, they won 10 in a row. Glidden-Ralston's 4 out of the last 5. South Central, 4 of the last 5. So it's been a good couple of weeks for our local boys teams.
It has. And for you mentioned, you know, kind of like the Carroll girls, their losses to Carlisle and to North Polk. For Arweva's boys, their losses have been to Coon Rapids Bayard and to Woodbine. You know, the two teams that are leading that conference that are going to be squaring off tonight. So that's a huge, huge doubleheader on Kick tonight that Casey gets to do. And then we'll also have it on our CB Sports Network YouTube channel. But, yeah, they're sitting 13-4, and people kind of forget about them because they're sitting third in that conference.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead, Casey.
We got a lot of good basketball being played right now at a really good time of the season with, you know, the girls' pairings hopefully coming out this week. You know,
supposed
boys,
to be tomorrow.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, when do the pairings come out?
Supposed to be tomorrow. We're hoping that they do come out tomorrow. I know one of the coaches told me this morning that more than likely they'll come out Friday, but I'm hoping that they come out tomorrow. Postseason gets underway late next week, so, you know, it'd be nice to have more than 4 or 5 days to figure out where we're going to go call and who I've got available to co-call games. And I'd like to have them out today because I don't want to be down there covering state wrestling and have to try and, you know, put together a schedule while in the midst of all that.
Between interviews, you're making phone calls to try to get, you know, places set up and announcers set up and all that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some great individual performances going on. McKenna Steiger, all-time leader in threes for Esak County.
Yeah, what a great career she has had. Got a chance to watch her again on Saturday when I did their games against GTRA. Such a great young lady and has put so much time into the game. And I will tell you that one of the really fun things was is I saw Taylor Huska come in because I had heard she was going to be there. Shot her a quick text message and said, during a commercial break, and I'm like, hey, would you mind coming up at halftime? So got a chance to catch up with Taylor Huska, first time since about 2019 when she graduated. So that was fun to find out. She's working up in the Lake City area and stuff, doing her rounds to get her physical therapy degree and still back in the area. So it was cool catch up with her as well.
Yep. She was a fun player to watch.
She was.
Broadcast and stuff like that. Yep. We talked about somebody with a motor that just didn't quit.
Yes.
Kendall Quirk, also speaking of ESAC, all-time career leading for rebounding.
Yeah. McKenna had 191 threes when she broke the record. Kendall Quirk with 584 rebounds at the time she broke that record here a couple of weeks ago. Just a young lady that... I think KC works about as hard as anybody to rebound and plays with effort all of the time that she's on the floor.
She's a really good defensive player. Yep. I think one of our better rebounders in the area.
Yep.
As well, I think averaging, 11 rebounds coming into the game. I mean, she's a girl that's capable of doing it, giving you a double-double.
Yeah.
Almost every single night she's out on the court. But the ability that she plays on the defensive end, and we mentioned, the motor part, Kendall Quirk's got that too.
Yes.
Her motor doesn't quit. She's diving on the floor for loose balls and stuff like that.
So. I think part of it is the battle between her and her teammate, Addison Ehler, who's averaging 10 rebounds a game too. So them two, Addison's not far behind breaking that old record. So them two have kind of battled each other not to just be the best rebounder on their own team, but be the best rebounder in the history of ESAC girls basketball. So
there's been some great nights for some of the boys around the area too. Big scoring outputs as well.
Yeah, Cal Hayden 34 last night against Peyton Sheridan. I mean, Ty Hayden breaking school record, 21 rebounds in a game. I don't think we've had that at all this season. That may be the first time we've had a kid reach 20. This season in boys basketball, and he's done Ty's done a great job rebounding the basketball for him this year. It's allowed Cal to play more of the perimeter, which I think has helped them out a lot, be a ball handler, and I think that's part of the reason why Coon's sitting 15-1 right now.
And looking really good.
And Ty's ability to rebound, and as we mentioned, they got a big one with Woodbine tonight.
And what a transition, before we get to tonight, what a transition for him. He's been a guard his entire life, but had a growth spurt this last summer and dealt with some back issues because of it and stuff, but is healthy now. And he has become, I think, our best rebounder in the area out of the 11 schools that we cover. And he is just dominant on the glass. And it's not like he's 6'4 or 6'5.
He's 6'2.
He's 6'1, 6'2, somewhere in there. But I call him a little bit like Dennis Rodman, not the hairstyle or any of those types of things. But the worm. But he is so quick off the ground. He can go up and tip it to himself. He can go down and rip it down with two hands. But the motor never stops for him on the glass. He is so quick at springing, which means he can jump, tip it, and then land and go back up before everybody else is down and getting prepared to go back up. He just kind of hits the ground and is instantly like a jumping jack, back up into the air, and that allows him to be a great rebounder.
Reads the basketball really well.
Yes.
The shot, I think, is what helps him a lot.
As I say, those guys that anticipate like that's really fun to watch when they're really on top of their games. Also, other big scoring nights, Ben Ramsey had 28. Trayvon Keeley, 31 points the other night. Yeah, go through some of those.
Yeah, so you mentioned Ben Ramsey, 28 against Underwood last week. Cal Hayden had 27 against Exirocre and Kimbledon. Trayvon Keeley had 31 against West Harrison. All those games were last Tuesday. And Taryn Peterson from Exirocre and Kimbledon had 32 last night in that loss to Exirocre and Kimbledon. So,
one thing to mention as well, Ben Ramsey went over 1,000 points.
Yes.
Keith Wagner told me that yesterday while I was talking to him, did that in their loss against Trainer on Friday, so congratulations to him.
Yes. Yeah.
Only a junior,
so he's going to rack up quite a few more. So, and
Wyatt Regaler had 30 in a loss, and Woodbine on Friday.
Yeah, sorry, did I miss that one?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, so, Wyatt's been playing. Him and Blaine Smith have really taken their games to another level over there at Arweva. Wyatt's always been a really good defensive player because he's so athletic and he's tenacious. He's that kind of guy that you want playing defense. But, his offensive game this year has kind of taken it to another level.
Mm-hmm. So as we get ready for the pairings to come out, who's really, do you think, going to maybe get a decent draw coming out of it? You mentioned a lot of nice records coming out of Coon Rapids, Baird, all this stuff. Are they gonna see their fruits of their labor?
I wouldn't be shocked if they throw Coon and Woodbine in the same bracket. You know, just based off of familiarity, location wise, stuff like that. I wouldn't even be shocked to see Arweva in that bracket either.
Right.
But I would imagine they'll probably try to split them up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see who the Carroll girls get.
Yep.
You look at the rankings, the girls' union does a really nice job of keeping the top eight separate. But if you look at travel distance and stuff like that, I wouldn't be shocked if Carroll's got to go to DCG for that state qualifying game, or, even Sioux Center, a couple teams that are ranked right there from 5 to 7 or 5 to 8.
Yep. Yeah, it will be interesting with the Carroll girls because they're not in the top eight, so that means they're going to probably get somebody in the top eight on the road for that state qualifying game. But I think with the way they've played this year, they've got to be confident that they can go do it. The other two that I think will be seeded pretty high is Coon and Exirocorn Kimbleton and stuff. So it'll be interesting. What direction do they send Exira? They're south of us. Do they go south, or do they ship them east, or, mm-hmm. or do they push them up north, which they've done in the past and stuff. They've thrown them up north. And then for Coon, I don't, honestly, with the preparing supposed to be coming out probably tomorrow, with that game tonight, do they try and squeeze what happens tonight, and does that mm-hmm. impact? So if they beat Woodbine, which is a really good win, I mean, that's, if Coon wins tonight, they've pretty much locked up the outright title. If they lose, you get a three-way tie between them, Woodbine, and Exirocorn Gibbleton on the girls' side of things. So if Coon would fall tonight, that's three losses out of their last four games. Is that all of a sudden, do they end up having to play like a New Alfonda or somebody like that again in that regional final? Because they're going to have maybe dropped out of the rankings, which they've done right now. A win here tonight might jump them back in, but another loss, they may drop out of the rankings, and then all of a sudden you get a little tougher route
mm-hmm.
into the tournament. That's if tonight's game counts on where they're yeah. seeded.
And so, Coon's been playing banged up right now. They've been injured the last couple of weeks dealing with some illnesses, so hopefully yep. that they're getting more healthy.
Yeah, not sounding like it in talking with Coach last night. So, yeah.
That's going to be interesting the next few weeks here. The next couple of days are going to be fun, though, with Girls State Wrestling. Again, that gets underway Thursday about 4:30 in the afternoon. The YouTube channel, just search CB Sports Network on YouTube or go to sports.1380kcim.com. Yep. You'll find a link there for that as well. But wall-to-wall coverage with Jeff Honnold and Bill Kane. And Jeff, you'll be there doing the video interviews. Join us for all of that. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week.